Welcome to The Last Storm. My name is Mark.
And I'm Dave.
And we're here to talk about the Oklahoma City Thunder like we do every single day.
Yeah, Mark, we're going to break down our next game, and then we have a couple more games we're going to break down and look at our schedule to try to figure out exactly where we're standing and how easy or how difficult our schedule is for the rest of the season.
Yeah, that's right. Thank you for joining us for The Last Storm. We're going to get right into this.
All right, Mark, starting tomorrow, Mark, tomorrow the 5th, we play against Detroit. This is going to be an interesting game. We have a lot of players that used to play for the Oklahoma City Thunder at Detroit. Plus, you have one of our assistant GMs that used to be with the Oklahoma City Thunder over there at Detroit. So this is something that we're going to keep a very close eye on. I do think that Hamidou Diallo will be able to come out and definitely get some revenge tomorrow, but will it be enough? I don't think so. This team is really looking like they're clicking on a level that, yes, we've been playing against very difficult teams the last two games, but the way that these guys are working together, I feel like there's a big future for these guys.
Yeah, those last two games we were playing against really established teams with really established systems, and they're trying to make deep playoff runs. So it makes sense that, you know, a team that's young as us would run into a lot of adversity, and they would find ways to score points through moving the ball and finding the open man and just doing what experienced teams do for easy buckets. And obviously they have some tape on these players now that they've played a few games, and they're coming out and they're playing very aggressively at these guys. The next three games are all what we consider winnable. We play the Pistons, the Hornets, and the Cavs. Obviously, the Pistons are someone that we know a little bit more about because they have Thunder players on them, but when they play well, they can play with a lot of teams, even teams that are a lot better than them. But the reason that we consider them a winnable game is because they don't have those systems that make it so they just automatically put teams out of games. Like playing someone like with a Chris Paul and also like Devin Booker, a team that just really knows how to get the shots up that they want and work really hard for those shots. Now, could the Pistons beat us? Yeah, I mean, we're talking about these are winnable games. We're not saying that we should come out and win these games. So, you know, the same thing goes with the Hornets and the Cavs. We realize like right now the Hornets are playing better basketball than a lot of people anticipated at this point in the season. Totally understandable, but we consider that winnable because they don't have a system that they can just rely on to generate all those points to win games. So a lot of times they'll play to their competition. And the same thing right now goes with the Cavs. Like, they can beat teams that are better than them, but it relies on the individual efforts of players coming out and having huge games to do that. So we think that we can probably, you know, get at least one of the three, but there's a good chance we could get two of the three games that we have against winnable opponents. And then we have two tough games. We go against the 76ers and the Jazz. So obviously that's a challenge, and that's going to be a lot like what we faced, unless we get someone like Dort back, maybe Bazley, and obviously SGA isn't going to be back for a little while longer. But at this point, we have to look at those games as opportunities to play against better teams, to learn from the systems that we're facing, and come back and just find out if we can compete in those games. Because we are going to play teams once again after that that are more winnable. So out of the next 23 games coming up, we have 7 games that are against very difficult opponents, and then 16 games that are against probably what would be considered bottom half of the NBA opponents at the very least. Now, let me read these out to you. The good teams we play against coming up before the end of the season are the 76ers twice, the Jazz twice, the Celtics, the Suns, and the Clippers. All right, so just 5 opponents, and that's a total of 7 games. Now, the bad teams that we play coming up, and there's 16 of those, so stick with me. The Pistons twice, the Hornets, the Cavs, the Warriors 3 times, the Raptors, the Wizards twice, the Pacers twice, the Pelicans, the Kings 3 times. So obviously, the Warriors are somewhat what we'd consider winnable just because they're so inconsistent. Obviously, if they're playing at their peak, those games are what we're going to consider in the winnable category. But considering we don't know what's going to happen, and most of the games against the Warriors at the end of the season, if they fall out of the race, they could decide to like sit Steph again. There is no telling right now. It seems like they could be very close to doing that. We've already proven that the Raptors are winnable. The Wizards, they're very inconsistent. And, you know, you don't know who you're going to face. And even if you do, you know, we know something about playing against Russ teams, you know. The Pacers, I still like them, but they're just not playing very good right now. They're not winning games. So I consider that winnable. The Pelicans and the Kings, obviously the Kings are doing very well right now. But you kind of have to question whether or not that they can that can keep up. And we play them three times. So if we can find a way to win, say, 10 to 12 games against the bad teams and steal 1 to 2 games against the good teams, then we're right into that mix that we want to be in. You know, that's right where we're looking at. And we could do better. I mean, if you consider that this team that we're seeing right now, I really feel like they could win 10 of those games against the bad teams. But if you add SGA, if you add Dort, if you add Bazley back into the mix, that raises our ceiling. So in the end, the fact that the schedule is so disproportionately easy in the second half really speaks to why we had those veterans playing so much in the first half, is because these young players would have really, really struggled if they had to go against the Lakers 3 times and the Bucks 2 times. And I don't know, just it was a very, very difficult schedule that they had to face during that middle part. Now we have some games coming up, like the next 3, that we consider much more manageable. And we think that this team, as they grow, can win games while they're growing, which is remarkable considering how difficult that would have been to happen early in the season.
Yeah, Mark, you're absolutely right. And again, we're down to our last third of the season. This is going to be a very interesting run right here. I'm really looking at this for a number of different reasons as a big possibility that we could go on some, you know, nice little runs here in wins-wise. Again, nothing is guaranteed, and it really depends on the injuries, whether we can get those guys back or not. There's a lot to say there, and there's a lot to wait out and look at. Personally, I feel like this team, if we can get that 15 wins, 14 wins that Mark and I are talking about, we kind of feel like that is the magic number to be able to slip into the playoffs. That is something that I feel like is doable, especially where there's a lot of unknown things going on. So for me, looking at it like that, I definitely get excited about the possibility that this team could, if not make the playoffs, if not make the bubble, they could be right outside of that spot right there. And to me, that's what this team needs, is a proof that they can compete, especially with the young players playing. I do think that SGA coming back would automatically make this team, SGA, Bazley, and Dort coming back would make this team at least a 30-35 point better team. That really puts us in a category that, you know, this is a very interesting team to watch. So just take a deep breath. I know that these last two games have been difficult to watch, but the reality is that we're not healthy. And when we get healthy, this is going to be exciting.
Right. And, you know, the Blazers announcers talked about it last night. They said this is a team that has been decimated by injury recently, and they clearly aren't going through what we would consider an intentional tank. And the reason they came to that conclusion is simply because our record is too good to tank. And yes, when those players come back, we are going to be much better. The question is, how well can this team improve without those guys? You know, it feels a lot, and this is what they said, that this team feels a lot like the Nets a few years ago, and other teams that were able to compete and find a way to win games, even when they didn't have elite talent. And then it kind of makes it clear that to elite talent that they're a good destination. Players want to play where they can make the playoffs. And if you're making the playoffs without elite talent, or right at that, you know, ability right to play, get into the play-in game, they can easily see themselves going there and making the All-Star game and getting the attention that they want by getting to the playoffs. And all those accolades come to players who make the playoffs and that lead teams to the playoffs and lead them deep into the playoffs. And That's what every player is looking for. And proving that you have the supporting staff that can handle that is far more important than, you know, getting to the top of the draft. I understand that a lot of people, you know, think that getting to the top of the draft is the most important thing, but, you know, that's just where we have a disagreement. We feel like the most important thing is to have an organization that's dedicated to competition and competing at a high level. And then from there, you can add players and you can find ways to compete. And that's what we're excited about seeing here with the Thunder.
Yeah, Mark, and like we said, we want to make this very clear. We don't necessarily think that the Thunder are going to win all 17 winnable games the second half or the last third of these games. But what we do think is that this team has a possibility to pull off a total of 15 wins over the last, I believe it's 27 games, Mark. I'm not too sure. I have to look at the how many games exactly. But the reality is that if we can do this, this is something that is slightly above 500, the last section of this schedule. And it's something to me that I get excited about, just the possibility. And again, we don't know how long SGA is going to be out for. If he has any setbacks, I'm sure they're going to try to sit him out for longer, if not for the full season. Same with Dort and Baisley. There's just so much unknown with Baisley. So to me, it's just about sitting still, watching how the cookie crumbles, and then making a decision at that point of where we're going to go and what we're going to do. And it doesn't always mean it's going to be exactly the way that we think it's going to be, but it's something that is exciting to see in the long run is the future of what Sam sees his vision of the NBA going to be looking like soon.
Yeah, I mean, in the end, when you get to see these young players play, these role players find out what they're capable of and push themselves because they're playing against better competition than they've ever played against before. That's what we love seeing. So don't tune it out now. Don't stop watching now because they're not like winning games. I get that. But in the end, they're all forcing each other to play at a higher level than they've ever played before. And so there's going to be ups and downs. But in the end, when these players are being trusted late in the season and next year they're having, you know, really good games and big wins early, I think that you're going to appreciate the fact that you saw them struggle, you know, when they got started. That is, you know, it's special to be able to see like, okay, these are the steps this person has made. And I have no doubt right now with players like Svi Mihailuk and Isaiah Roby, you know, these games where they have very few points and very few impactful plays, those are going to be so few and far between in the future that it'll be hard to remember the ways that they sometimes struggle to make their impact. That's what I think is the best thing about this, is like you get to watch it and you get to see like the hard work that they're going in and they're paying off. Like, I understand that like these players are used to seeing this type of competition occasionally, but when they see it every day and they have to come back and prepare for it and play it against it again, same with Kenny Williams and Poku and Théo Maledon. I mean, there's nothing else that can prepare you so well. And that's what's been awesome. I mean, we said it the other night, but Poku and Théo are the first players under 20 to both score 20 points in a game, you know, in the same game. It's pretty amazing. That's something that, you know, you don't get to see every day. And it reminds me a lot of, you know, the days of Russ and KD when they first arrived to Oklahoma City. You know, they weren't winning games, but they were really special to watch. And what's really cool about this team is Sam Presti and the way that he utilized the veterans with Al Horford and George Hill and Mike Muscala. You know, he spotted this team 20 wins and said, okay, you know, here's 20 wins. Now let's see what you can do from here. And that's pretty awesome because that means that they can go in and safely never have tanked and never have gotten, you know, that feeling of tanking because, in the end, you know, no team can, you know, in a shortened season, can they win 30 games and be considered a tank. And we really think this team has the capability of winning a lot more than that.
Yeah, Mark, and just looking at the guys that are getting all the playing time right now, I really want to reiterate what these guys are doing right now. Kendrick Williams has already exceeded any of the playing time that he has had in a single season this year, and he still has 20-something games left. Isaiah Roby's already exceeded the minutes that he's done in the NBA. Poku is rookie, so he's exceeded that. You have Theo, rookie. Ty has exceeded all the minutes that he's played in the NBA ever. You have Josh Hall as rookie. Lou Dort has played more minutes now. Moses Brown has played more minutes. Darius Bazley has played more minutes. You know, we could go down this list that Shea is almost maxed out of his minutes of what he did in prior seasons. You know, this is something that we have to look at and really circle and say, this is what's going on with this team, is that these are guys that have never played these type of minutes before, and now they're having to be relied on very heavily because of the injuries that have happened. So it's something that we're going to continue to see as a struggle because, again, their bodies aren't used to a full NBA schedule and having to play 20-plus minutes a game. They're going to get used to it, but it also takes time. We saw this with Oklahoma City when Victor Oladipo came and played with Russ. After the first year, he said he needed to go back to the gym and redefine how his body was, how he's going to play in shape, because he recognized that at the end of the season, he didn't have what it takes to be able to finish it off. And that's what's an important thing to be able to see, is that these guys that are really, truly wanting to continue to play at a high level, they'll start figuring it out that being able to do this isn't something that is just like it was in college where you play 30 games and then all of a sudden you play in the finals or in the playoffs or, you know, the 64 seeds or whatever the NIA is. But the reality is, this is where it's at, is that this Thunder team needs to be able to look at this and say, we're developing these guys because of injuries, and we just need to sit back and enjoy what we can of what Sam has done.
Yeah, man. And that's what we're all about, because in the end, if we had the choice between watching George Hill and Al Horford out there, you know, or Théo Maledon and Isaiah Roby and, you know, Moses Brown and these other guys who get these minutes, like, to me, it's easy. You know, I'd rather see these young players do that. And I'm really grateful that they had, a number of them had opportunities to play in the G League, like Poku and Brown and Ty Jerome. I think that was, you know, really helpful. Obviously, Sam Presti going down there shows how important that was as a part of the process. And I really feel like now we're sitting here and we're watching the benefit of that. And yeah, we're playing against teams that, you know, we stung them earlier in the season and they came back and they wanted to prove something against our young squad. And yeah, that's, I mean, you can take that however you want, but remember, it's the NBA and it's only one game. And we're very optimistic about the Pistons game coming up. But in the end, the Pistons are a talented team and they don't win a lot of games, and they're going to come out and they're going to try to get one against us. So we got to understand once again that it's just one game, and we're looking to get a couple of these next three, but recognizing that the season is going to fluctuate and we are going to get players back as it goes. And even if we don't, we anticipate this team to just continue to figure out how to compete, because these players, they're professionals and they want to play at the highest level. So thank you for joining us as we continue to watch this team grow. We know that, like, a lot of people are tuning it out, and I know that they're missing things, because in the end, this team is very, very special, and I'm so grateful to the way that they're constructed. So thank you for joining us for it.
Yeah, no doubt. I, again, reiterate what Mark just said right there. We appreciate every single one of you guys for the continued support. We have so many people that continue to write us and encourage us, so we definitely appreciate that. The haters will be haters. That is okay. We didn't start this business to make friends with other podcasts. That is fine with us. To us, it's all about making sure that Oklahoma City Thunder team has a voice that resonates with the fans that are in Oklahoma City. So that's why we're here. My name is Dave, and we will be back with another episode tomorrow.
Thank you so much for joining us. My name is Mark. Thunder up.